So, actually, the verse to be sung is not the 21, but 19:20. So, those who have books, they can, or, before I forget, this is separate from the class subject, so I wanted to comment now. In my travels everywhere, to the end of South America, to all North America, I always hear devotees chanting in the Maha Mantra, Ramo, instead of Rama. Everywhere. Amazing. So, there is one instance about that with Prabhupada. Vishnujana Swami was leading a kirtan in Prabhupada's presence. And he suddenly changed Hare Rama to Hare Ramo. And Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. And he asked Vishnujana Swami, who is this Ramo? You are spoiling the movement. You are ruining the movement. Prabhupada was very serious about it. And Prabhupada, before he left, he told him, the right pronunciation is Rama. It's not Ramo. It's Rama. Okay, thank you, Swabas, for agreeing with me. It's not Ram either. It's Rama. I mean, sometimes we hear, you know, Bengalis, they have this thing to change A to O. But Prabhupada was Bengali himself. He never chanted Ramo. He always chanted Rama. You hear all his tapes chanting the Maha Mantra. It's always Rama, never Ramo. So I don't know from where that came. Anyway, just wanted to point that. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we have to pronounce it. It's a Sanskrit. Hindi, they take out the A. But this is not Hindi. This is Sanskrit. You have to pronounce it. For example, in Hindi, you say Tulsi. But in Sanskrit, it's Tulasi. See? So, there's a Sanskrit mantra. You have to pronounce it. That's the way it's correct. I even hear some people chant Krishna in the Maha Mantra. Yes. Krishna, yes. Yeah. Not only that, in relation to the Narsingha Mantra, I mean, I hear the tape when Prabhupada here in Los Angeles taught the devotees how to chant the mantra. And I look at the songbook, Prabhupada was chanting exactly as the songbook is. But we have changed it. In the course of time, we have changed. It's not so important, maybe, some small detail, but, I mean, why not to do it the right way with how Prabhupada taught us to do it? For example, it's Hiranyakashipur Bhakshaha, not Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyakashipur Bhakshaha. Shiratanka nakala ito nirisingha para to nirisingho. It's not everything nirisingho. There is nirisingha, and first one is nirisingha. Ito nirisingha para to nirisingho. Yato yato yamita to nirisingha. Then comes to nirisingho. Bahir. It's not bahir. Bahir doesn't mean anything in Sanskrit. Bahir means outside. Northern nirisingha dev is outside. Bahir nirisingho. And he's in the heart. Hridaye nirisingho. Then you meditate on the meaning while chanting. So anyway, in the course of time, that's few words were changed here and there. But it's never late to rectify. Why not? You may say maybe small detail, but it's important. I mean, why not? Hare Krishna. All right, so we are going to read from 17 to 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 17 and 18. Nishamyatat suragana mahendra varuna dayaha nadyagachan swayam mantrair mantrayanto vinishchitam tato brahma sabam jagmur meror murdhani sarvashah sarvam vigyapayam chakru pranatat parameshtitine. Lord Indra, Varuna, and the other demigods, seeing their lives in such a state, consulted among themselves, but they could not find any solution. Then all the demigods assembled and went together to the peak of Sumeru Mountain. There, in the assembly of Lord Brahma, they fell down to offer Lord Brahma their obeisances. And then they informed him of all the incidents that had taken place. Text 19, 20. So those who have book, they can repeat. Savilokyendra vayu adin nisatvan vigata prabhan lokanna mangala prayan Asuran ayata vibhu samahitena manasa samsmaran purusham param vachotpulla vadano devansa bhagavan paraha. Please chant. Vaishnavis, sa Lord Brahma, Vilokya, looking over, Indravayu Adin, all the demigods headed by Lord Indra and Vayu, Nisatvan, bereft of all spiritual potency, Vigata Prabhan, bereft of all effulgence. Lokan, all the three worlds. Amangala Prayan, merged into misfortune. Asuran, all the demons. Ayata, flourishing. Vibhu, Lord Brahma, the supreme within this material world. Translation. Upon seeing that the demigods were bereft of all influence and strength, and that the three worlds were consequently devoid of auspiciousness, and upon seeing that the demigods were in an awkward position, whereas all the demons were flourishing, Lord Brahma, who is above all the demigods and who is most powerful, concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, being encouraged, he became bright-faced and spoke to the demigods as follows. Purport. After hearing from the demigods the real situation, Lord Brahma was very much concerned because the demons were unnecessarily so powerful. When demons become powerful, the entire world is placed in an awkward position because demons are simply interested in their own sense gratification and not in the welfare of the world. Demigods or devotees, however, are concerned with the welfare of all living beings. Srila Rupa Goswami, for example, left his ministership and went to Vrindavan for the benefit of the entire world. Lokanam hitakarino. This is the nature of a saintly person or demigod. Even impersonalists think of the welfare of all people. Thus Brahma was very much concerned at seeing the demons in power. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana salakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate garim yat kripatamaham bande shri gurum dinataranam jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shivasadi gaur bhaktavrinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is the situation. The demigods became very weak and were defeated by the demons because Indra offended his guru. Not his guru, actually Durvasa Muni. He offended Durvasa Muni, great powerful yogi. There was a procession in the heavenly planets, and Durvasa Muni was there, and he handed his garland to Indra. And Indra didn't took it. He was puffed up with his position. So he put the garland on the elephant, on the trunk of the elephant. The elephant is an animal. He doesn't care for the garland. So he threw it on the ground and stepped on it. And of course, Durvasa Muni is very temperamental. He became very angry by that insult, you know. He's a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva. He's Ashutosha, easily pleased, easily angered. So he cursed Lord Indra. You will lose all your opulence, all your strength. And since all the demigods depended on Lord Indra, they also became weakened. And thus they were defeated by the asuras, the demons. So, and when the demigods suffer, all the three worlds suffer because all living entities are controlled by the demigods. So, they went to Lord Brahma, to the top of Mount Sumeru, to ask his advice what to do. When Prabhupada visited our temple in Venezuela, South America, in one morning walk, Prabhupada told us about Mount Sumeru. he said that at the top of Mount Sumeru, which is, its peak is made of gold, he said that big mango trees grows on the top of that mountain, and each mango is the size of an elephant. So when the mangoes ripe up and they fall from the mountain, they form a Jambunada, a mango river. And when both sides dry up with the sun and the wind, they become gold. So the demigods, they come in their airplanes with their wives, and they collect this gold and make bracelets and different ornaments for free. They don't have to work hard to buy some bracelet for the wife. Prabhupada asked, what is the gold here? Only plastic and paper. So anyway, so Brahma himself didn't know what to do to solve the situation. He has to ask advice from the Lord himself. So they didn't know what to do. And that's the symptom of a saintly person, that when he doesn't know what to do, he has advice from higher authority. The demigods, they went to Lord Brahma. It's higher authority than them. Mm-hmm. And he himself, not knowing what to do, then he went to Lord Vishnu. He meditated on Lord Vishnu to get an answer for this awkward situation for the demigods. So, because demons, they are only concerned for their own self-sense gratification. They don't care about others much. Mm-hmm. And that's why Lord Vishnu always helped the demigods and not the demons, because the demons are against the Lord and his devotees, and they don't care for the welfare of the people and the world. So, being that the situation, something has to be done about it. So, that's why we see present day so many problems in the world, because the leaders, Prabhupada said, the people are good, but the leaders are bad. So, because they encourage all kind of sinful activity in the name of progress, material progress, advancement. Last year I went for the first time to visit the devotees in Las Vegas. And when they picked me at the airport, going to the temple, there is a big sign, "Welcome to Las Vegas." And they put some pictures there. One picture is wine, you know. Another picture, half-naked women. Another picture is the casinos. Another picture is steak, meat. Really, I was shocked. You know, all the four pillars of sinful life, they show you this is what you get here. This is what you can expect to get here. All at the same time, at the same place. You don't have to go anywhere else. It's crazy, isn't it? So that's happened when the leaders are not Krishna conscious. They encourage this sinful activities. So Lord Brahma was very concerned about the situation. And this is the prelude of the churning of the milk ocean pastime. Mm-hmm. So, and all happened because Indra became puffed up. So just see how many problems pride may can get you in. Mm-hmm. There is one pastime from the Puranas that with the help of Lord Vishnu, the demigods could defeat the asuras, the demons. And the demigods were puffed up. Oh, we are so powerful, we are so expert, you know. We defeated all the demons. So Lord Vishnu sensed a little pride in them. So he wanted to teach them a lesson in humility. So he took a blade of grass in his fingers. And he told the demigods, he told Indra, Indra, can you? You have a very powerful weapon, Vajra, the thunderbolt. Can you cut and halve this blade of grass? Oh, that's very easy. His Vajra was cut in half when he threw it at the blade of grass. Then he told Vayu, can you shake it? Oh, that's easy. Didn't move an inch. He asked Agni, can you change its color? Oh, I can burn it to ashes. Try. Nothing happened. So all the demigods realized that without the mercy of Lord Vishnu, they are nothing. So they fell at the feet of the Lord asking forgiveness for their pride. And from that pastime comes the saying, not even a blade of grass move without the will of the Lord. From that pastime. So, saintly person always think of the welfare of others. That's the nature of saintly people. Even Prabhupada mentioned, even impersonalists, they think of the welfare of other people. Although they don't know what is the highest welfare, but they at least want to do good for others. No? Lord Kapila, they have mentioned the qualities of a saintly person. Titikshava karunika surida sarvadehinam ajata shatrava shanta sadava sadhu bhushanam. A saintly person is very tolerant and compassionate. Titikshava karunika. And he is friendly to everyone. Suridam sarvabhutanam. Ajata shatrava. He doesn't consider anybody his enemy. Yudhishthira Maharaj was called Ajata Shatru, his enemy. Ever born. One may say, okay, but Duryodhana was his enemy. No. Yudhishthir was considered by Duryodhana as his enemy, but Yudhishthir Maharaj didn't consider Duryodhana as his enemy. How is that possible? There is one story in the Mahabharata that when they were in exile, the Pandavas, Duryodhana wanted to see them suffer. So he went with his army to the forest to see them, how they were struggling to, you know, especially wanted to see Bhima, you know, starving, eating roots from the jungle. So when they arrived at the forest, they made so much noise with the chariots and the horses. And there was one Gandharva from heavenly planet taking his bath in a river with his wives. And all this noise and dust disturbed him. So he challenged Duryodhana for a fight. And he defeated and killed all his soldiers and captured Duryodhana. He even hurt Karna and he had to fled for his life. He abandoned Duryodhana and left. So one of the soldiers who was wounded, he went to the Pandavas to ask for help. You know, this is what happened. So Bhima and Arjuna said, he deserved it. He came to laugh at us. He deserved to be, you know, suffering. But Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no, that's not the attitude. We are cousins. We may have problems between ourselves. But if a third party comes in between, we have to do something about it. So I want you, Arjuna, to go and free him, bring him to me. So Arjuna obeyed his elder brother. He went and challenged the Gandharva. They had a good fight. And the Gandharva was pleased with Arjuna because of his chivalrous and, you know, and expertise in martial art. He was very pleased. So not only he handed him Duryodhana, but he also gave him celestial weapons and taught him how to use them. He said, in the Kurukshetra war, you are going to need them. So Duryodhana came with Duryodhana and told Yudhishthira Maharaj, what should I do with him? He was tied up with a rope. So you release him from the rope and let him go peacefully to his palace. He could have killed them right there, no Kurukshetra war needed, nothing. But no, he was very gentle and noble. You know, let him go peacefully. So that means he didn't consider him his enemy. Ajata Shatrava Shanta, devotee, saintly person, devotee or impersonalist, they may have those qualities. There are two kinds of impersonalist, of course. That's Brahmavadi and Mayavadi. Mayavadis are offender to Krishna. Mayavadi Krishna Paradi, Lord Chaitanya said. Because they consider Krishna's form made of material energy, made of Maya. So that's why they're called Mayavadis. But the Brahmavadis, they're also impersonalist, but they are not offenders. They are just fixed on Brahma. They are saintly people. They are peaceful also. Devotee should also be peaceful. Shanta. Can't tolerate any kind of situation without being disturbed, because always meditating on Krishna. Then Lord Vishnu advised Lord Brahma and the demigods make a truce with the demons to churn the milk ocean to get the Soma Rasa to regain your strength. Don't worry, I will take care of everything. So that was Vishnu's plan. In one of the books of Sadaputa Prabhu, there is a picture of something, a sculpture they found in a cave in Mexico. And the sculpture is 2,000 years old. And show a big mountain with a snake around it and two group of people pulling, and beneath there is water. And it's 2,000 years old, the sculpture in the wall of this cave. How they knew about the churning of the milk ocean 2,000 years ago in Mexico? So that proved that Prabhupada told us in One Morning Welcome that previously all the world was following Vedic culture. But in the course of time, that was lost. They stopped following. But still you can see some, proof that it was like that before. Even recently, last year, I went to visit devotees in Cancun, Mexico. And they told me that National Geographic went there to investigate new things. And they found in one city called Merida a water cave which was covered by a lot of plants, and they could not see it. They have to chop off all the plants. And what they found in that cave was an inscription on the wall, 3,000 years old, in Sanskrit. And they were like, wow, this is from India, this language. How came here to Mexico 3,000 years ago? I asked the devotee, try to get the video so we can know what was saying in Sanskrit there. Not only that, they found the skeleton of a horse, also 3,000 years old. Supposedly the Spaniards, they brought the horses to this new world, to Mexico, but was already there 1,000 years ago. So many things prove that there was such a thing. Even in the Amazon, in Venezuela, there is a big mountain. The highest waterfall in the world falls from that mountain. And the mountain is called Meru, by the ancient inhabitants of, they call it Meru. In Venezuela, yes. There is an ancient town, abandoned of course, ancient, 1,000 years old, in the Amazon in Brazil, called Hanuman. And the previous name of Brazil was Pindorama. You know, Prabhupada told us that Lord Ramchandra went to Brazil through this tunnel. They found the tunnel even. Anyway, so... Pinda actually in Sanskrit means oblations, offerings, offering to Lord Rama, you know, in Sanskrit. Anyway, so Prabhupada told us that Brazil was the headquarters of Mahir Ravana, another brother of Ravana. And that while sleeping in Sri Lanka at night during the war with Ravana, Mahir Ravana came underneath and he kidnapped Lord Rama and took him while sleeping to be sacrificed in front of Goddess Kali. They were worshipping a big Goddess Kali in a cave in Brazil. So they asked Lord Ramchandra, not Ram, Rama, to bow down in front of Goddess Kali. And Lord Ramchandra told them, I'm a prince, you have to show me how to do this bowing down, I don't know. So all the demons bowed down, and Lord Chandra, to advantage, he took a sword, chopped off their heads. Prabhupada told us all the gold in Sri Lanka was coming from Brazil. And he asked us, still there is gold in Brazil? Oh, a lot of gold, even now. So anyway, so in relation to the milk ocean, churning of the milk ocean, do you know where that happened? That happened in... Dhruva Loka. The milk ocean is there. Sweta Dweep. That's a local Vaikuntha planet. When all the universe is destroyed, that planet is not destroyed. That's the abode of Shirodakashai Vishnu, Paramatma. So there happened this pastime. So in the one book, Ananda Brindavan Champu, by Kavi Karnapur, there's one pastime of baby Krishna in relation to this milk of ocean. That one evening, Mother Yashoda was busy and she asked the gopis to feed Krishna his dinner. So they brought varieties of sweets, milk sweets for Krishna. And they offered, what would you like to eat, Krishna? Krishna said, I want to eat that condensed butter. He pointed to the sky. There was a full golden moon. And the gopis were laughing. No, Krishna, this is not condensed butter. This is a Rajahamsa, a royal swan. Oh, then bring him. I can play with him. Then Yashoda came and Krishna complained. I wanted to eat the condensed butter, but the gopis say it's a swan. Who's right? And Mother Yashoda said, Krishna is right. Because through the churning of the milk ocean, the moon was born. So to say that the moon is condensed butter is correct. When Krishna heard that, he asked his mother, Mother, a milk ocean? How many cows were needed to make such an ocean? And Mother Yashoda said, Krishna, there was no need of any cows. Krishna said, I don't believe that. If there is no cows, no milk. You know, some years ago in Brazil, the TV went to schools and they were asking the children, from where the milk comes? Ah, from the pot, from the bottle. No. Nobody said from the cow. The city boys, they never see a cow, maybe on TV. But Krishna knew if there is no cow, no milk. So Mother Yashoda told him, my dear Krishna, you are a simple village boy. Let me explain to you. The creator of all the cows can create a milk ocean without the need of the cows. Krishna said, oh, that's amazing. I never heard about this. So let me have the butter condemns butter then. No, no. Do you see those black spots on the moon? This is poison. It's very harmful for you to eat it. Krishna says, I don't believe that. The scorpions or cobras have poison, but the moon, the condemns butter? She said, yes. When the demigods and demons started to churn the milk ocean, the first thing came out was a huge wave of poison. And to save the world, they prayed to Lord Mahadev. And he grabbed all the poison, shrink it to fit his palms. But some drops fell in the ocean and they touched the moon. And some other drops fell on the shore, and animals like cobras and scorpions and like that, they drank it, and that's why they became poisonous. So I don't advise you, Krishna, to eat this condemned butter. You may get sick. So Krishna, okay, I'm very hungry. Give me all the sweets. Anyway, so Prabhupada mentioned also in the purport about Srila Rupa Goswami. I mean, he is translating that the pastime of Vishnu, the demigods, that demigods were helped by Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma because they think of the welfare of the people. They care for the benefit of all the population. So Prabhupada is giving an example how Srila Rupa Goswami gave all possessions, his minister position, everything for the welfare of the world. Loka nam hitakari no tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro. And Lord Chaitanya asked the Sikh Goswamis three things to do. To do excavation of the holy places, archaeological, transcendental archaeological work. To establish temples worshipping the deities. And to write books about Krishna and devotional service. So to do that, they gave up everything. They were living under trees. Not because they didn't have money, they were poor. No, they gave everything for the service of Krishna. And they were, every night they would sleep under a different tree. Not because they were detached, but because they wanted to associate with every tree in Vrindavan, because every tree was a Kalpa Vriksha tree, desire fulfilling tree. So it's interesting, although Prabhupada many times he criticized the impersonalist, here he's praising them, that they also care for the people. And it's true, although materially sometimes they open big hospitals, big schools, but they think this is good for the people. So, but demons, they don't care for people at all. They only care for their sense gratification. And we see this nowadays, especially, you know, the food companies, they don't care what they put in their food. Harmful things, just to get the profit. Isn't it? I mean, they're discovering every day so many things, wrong things with the food. So whether Prabhupada said advice, eat fresh, medley, don't buy already made things. Try to eat everything offered to Krishna and fresh, freshly made. That's the best advice. Avoid all artificial things. And because, you know, it's a fact, you know, even the world is getting cancer, getting so many problems because they don't care properly of their health or their diet. So this thing has to take in consideration also. So Another important thing in the verse is that when Brahma started to meditate on Lord Vishnu, he became bright-faced. He became enlivened. He became immediately encouraged by the Lord. So that means when we have trouble, when we are in difficulty, if we remember and meditate on the Lord, we will get inspired how to overcome these difficulties, how not to be affected by them, how to accept the challenge and rise up to the situation, and through Krishna consciousness, with knowledge and detachment, overcome all difficulties in life. Krishna told Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, by my mercy, you can overcome all difficulties in this life. But if you don't hear me and let yourself be carried by false ego, you will be lost. So we always have this choice to follow our false ego, mind, or to follow Krishna's advice. And we know the result of each decision. So we have to try to become fixed in transcendental knowledge. And through that, not to let ourselves be carried by the whims of the mind and the ego. Rather try to raise up to the transcendental life of Krishna consciousness. So that's the sum and substance. If there is any comment or questions, please do. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
So the problem still remains. How can we actually, what is your advice? How can we actually come to a good standard in which devotees can actually eat really good products? Is that because it costs a lot of money and or just saving money, and or is Krishna's message
to
get anything?
To pay after the doctor bill. I mean, you may save money here, but you have to spend it later. And, no? So, I mean, we should try to do the best we can to follow a healthy life, means regulated life. Try about, you know, things with a lot of, you know, chemicals and artificial ingredients and all these things. Sometimes people don't even, devotees don't even read the label. Sometimes even have eggs, they don't read it because small letters. Why bother? So better don't buy this thing, just make it yourself. More work at home, but why risk it, you know?
I also sometimes seen that, you know, devotee is very humble or very innocent, pure. Yeah. You know, the farmer says, okay, you can take this free. But then when I see the things that they bring, they're already like rotting, almost not, it's not like eatable. But they still bring it, and I thought, what do they do there?
Well, it's good for the farmer that devotee accept the gift, although it's not proper. But you don't have to use it if it is rotten. You don't have to offer it to Krishna. You can offer to Krishna something like that or eat it yourself. You have to choose what is, you know, the right thing. We have to use our common sense. Like one devotee told me a story in, I don't know where, somewhere here in America, that in some years ago, that in Balarama appearance day, they made a big beverage of a lot of honey in it. And the next day, the devotee went and found that the drink was fermented. So he threw all the thing out. So the temple commander came, where is that drink? How do you call it? Baruni. No, I threw it out because it was fermented. That was the idea. they want to get intoxicated because it is offered to Balaram. It's okay. No, we have to be careful about those things.
Just one comment.
Yeah.
Parikshit Maharaj was compassionate to allow Hari to give him a place.
Yes.
Where all those principles will be, you know, like,
yes,
to recite whatever goal was.
Yes.
So, similar, we have seen that within the government, anywhere you go, there's always these things allowed. Isn't it that this was also in the very culture we hear about prostitution, for example?
Well, it is said that Maharaj Parikshit was, although Kali Yuga was there, he was so strict a ruler that he would not allow in his kingdom those four sinful activities. That's why Kali, knowing that, he asked for one more place to stay, and that was where gold is there. Because if there is gold and no Krishna consciousness, people get degraded and become too rich. They use it all for sinful activities. But if somebody is rich and Krishna conscious, he may use it for Krishna's service. Any other comment or question?
Why is Indra always getting in trouble?
Well, I mean, unless he gets in trouble, how can come Krishna and help him to solve the problem, you know? You have to get in trouble first so you can get the help. You have to learn your lesson. You have to make mistakes to learn from them. That's the point. I mean, you don't have to make mistakes, but people make mistakes. Indra himself, I mean, although a great big demigod, he also made mistake. Because he is a devotee, but he's not pure devotee. He has material desires. Sometimes he becomes proud, so that may put him in trouble. Mm-hmm. But he learned from his lesson. That's the important thing. To err is human, but to rectify is wise. So that's the important lesson also we have to learn. How to rectify our mistake, how to learn from them, not to commit them again. Is that okay? Okay. All right. There are no more questions. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.